this new world was supposed to make women happy. Because 50 years ago, everybody knows that women were oppressed, miserable, kept in their homes in cages, wanted something different than they had, and feminism came along to free them.
Suzanne Venker speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And 40 years later, here's what we have. According to a 2007 report from the National Bureau of Economic Research, quote, as women have gained more freedom, more education, and more power, they have become less happy.
You can listen to Suzanne Venker's presentation, Making the Case Against Feminism, on our new audio DVD from the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children.
Jesus understands very well that for him to do these works, it's like when he told the man, your sins are forgiven. Jesus was signing his own death warrant.
Truly, the disease of my soul must be great and deadly if it can only be cured because the heavenly physician, life itself, dies on a cross.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
I think it's widely recognized by the advocates of natural marriage, sometimes called traditional marriage, that the bulwark, the kind of the iron wall between most of us culturally and the advocates for same-sex marriage, the redefinition of marriage, and the kind of the homosexual activist front on all sides, is in many ways the Roman Catholic Church. They have an historic position, an unwavering position, even while much of Protestantism has given in and essentially defected to the other side of the wall. They stand, but that wall is not without its cracks or breaches. Occasionally you hear of a prominent Roman Catholic leader or an intellectual saying, well, maybe we need to consider a redefinition of marriage. That's happened recently with the pro same-sex marriage essay written by a Roman Catholic intellectual. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Over the next 3 hours, we're going to talk with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about that essay and get her response to it. Dr. Andrew Steinman will join us in a few minutes to remember Old Testament judge, warrior, general Joshua. Scott Klusendorf will be with us for about a half hour. He'll be responding to some abortion statements made recently in our interview with Dr. P.Z. Myers, author of The Happy Atheist. Scott's from the Life Training Institute. Chris Roseborough joins us to talk about statements that have, you may have seen this in social media. I haven't seen it in the mainstream media yet. Recent statements on homosexuality made by a megachurch leader. His name is Brian Houston. He is the head pastor of Hillsong Church, which is literally a global church, but it is based in Australia. Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, will bring us up to speed on that. Then part six of our Bible study on the book of Romans with Dr. Mike Middendorf. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
You say that this essay by Joseph Bottom has convinced you all the more that natural marriage is on the right side of history. What do you mean by that, and how so?
Well, this article, I guess this article's caused quite a firestorm in the blogosphere over the weekend, and it's a literally 9,300-word essay that says absolutely nothing. I mean, basically, he meanders around, wanders around, and says, I like gay people, and so therefore we should have gay marriage. You know, he doesn't even take up the important questions of what is marriage, why do you need it, does marriage have anything to do with objective differences between men and women, does marriage have anything to do with children? He writes 9,000 words and doesn't even mention those things. So, you know, if this is the best the other side can come up with, this can't go on. This can't last, you know.
How, I mean, I'm not aware of his place kind of in the in the Roman Catholic intelligentsia of America, but how prominent is he and how big a blow, at least on the face of it, would be kind of this kind of conversion, so to speak, on the issue be to
yes.
Roman Catholics?
Yes, yes. Well, he's not that important, you know. But let's put it this way. He has written and has been writing in a number of prominent publications. When Richard Don Neushaus died and they were looking for a new editor for First Things magazine, for a period of time, Jody Bottom was the editor of First Things. He didn't do a very good job and kind of didn't know what he wanted to do with the magazine, and so they got rid of him, and they've got somebody else running First Things magazine. But, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at, right? I mean, that's a pretty important piece of, I don't know, what you'd say, high-end intellectually, a part of the Catholic literary world. And he writes for other political magazines and so forth. So he's pretty well known as a conservative, visibly Catholic intellectual or public intellectual. And so, you know, it's puzzling more than anything else. And almost, he's not important enough. He's not as important, say, as David Blankenhorn was, because David Blankenhorn was closely identified with Fatherless America and the whole idea that kids need a mother and father. So, and David had testified in the Prop 8 trial on the side of natural marriage, on the side of the voters of California. And so when David defected, that was a big deal. Jody Bottom's not nearly as big a deal as David, I don't think. But still, it's very disappointing for people that somebody would take this position. But honestly, there just is no there. You know, there just isn't anything to this article. And it's just kind of a, you know, discursive, meandering, wandering around, saying, you know, gee, I haven't thought this through very much, but now that I think about it, you know, gay marriage isn't that big of a deal, and the ship's already sailed, so what the heck, the Catholic Church should get on board. And I think that's the part that galled me, you know, was this guy presuming to tell the bishops that they should lighten up on gay marriage. You know, it's like, who the heck are you, buddy? You know, I mean, even if you're correctly reading the tea leaves, politically, you know, where do you get off telling the magisterium what it should where it should invest its time and energy? You know, it was really quite puzzling, to tell you the truth. But frankly, it's of a piece. I think the real significance of it is that it's of a piece with earlier steps in the sexual revolution. So this article was financed by the Henry Luce Foundation. It says that right at the bottom of the article. You know, funding for this essay was provided by the Henry Luce Foundation. Well, you know, there's a long and ignoble history of foundations that support the sexual revolution going around and investing in turning Catholic intellectuals. You know, there were conferences at Notre Dame that were sponsored by the Rockefellers and their various family planning organizations, you know, trying to flatter and seduce Catholic intellectuals at Notre Dame, you know, into giving up the fight on contraception and becoming pro-contraception. So this piece is part of that long story of rich people and rich foundations trying to turn Catholic intellectuals.
Does it also, I mean, I'm trying to think of this in terms of strategy for the ongoing kind of media campaign to
yes.
favor same-sex marriage. It provides someone for the media to call. Here's a guy who has at least ostensible reputation as a Catholic intellectual. He will be your go-to person.
That's
to,
right.
To say, this is what real Catholics think.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's been part of their strategy for a long time, too. You know, they always want to call Catholics for a free choice. Never mind that Catholics for a free choice is all financed by these, you know, by these foundations, by these population control foundations, and they have like three actual members, you know. I mean, there's nothing there to Catholics for a free choice that wasn't paid for by the foundation. So I think you're exactly right. Jody Bottom is now going to be their go-to person. That's going to flatter him, make him feel good. The New York Times will be able to trot him out and say, see, here's our house Catholic, you know, who says what we want him to say. And it's also part of the media strategy, Todd. It's part of the media strategy to create a phony consensus, you know, a kind of Potemkin village that there is a consensus on the topic of same-sex marriage. Well, the way they do that is by censoring anybody who doesn't agree with them, and by only listening to those people who agree with what they say. And so this article is proof positive on this issue. It's not simply that we're only going to talk to people who agree with our answer to the question. They'll only talk to people who agree about what the question even is. We think the question is about marriage and whether children need their own mother and father, and whether there are issues of justice to children that marriage addresses. We think the issue is whether men and women are different, and whether law should recognize the differences between mothers and fathers in some important way. They think the issue is a national referendum on whether we like gay people. And Jody Bottom's article is all about, I like gay people. And that's all there is to it, you know. All these other issues that we think are so significant, they don't even want to talk about. And I think the reason they don't want to talk about it, Todd, is because they know if the subject turns on those issues, they'll lose. They'll lose. As soon as you start talking about children and differences between men and women, the idea, the very idea that you can degender the institution of marriage simply makes no sense. And so that's why this is an important piece of their strategy to do something like this.
With only a minute here, Jody Bottom suggests that the Roman Catholic Church has forfeited its moral authority because it's already allowed divorce and contraception. What is your response there with less than a minute?
Well, you know, that's pretty silly, actually, because the Roman Catholic Church has from the beginning been opposed to both divorce and contraception. She has opposed those things at great material cost to herself. And the church has turned out to be right. It's turned out divorce and contraception have both had very harmful effects to society that nobody predicted, and most people won't admit even now. And so actually I think the church has more moral authority than anyone to say, you know, we told you from the beginning that these things were a dead end and a false promise, and we think that degendering marriage is also going to be a dead end and a false promise.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. We have made it easy for you to check out the website and the blog for the Ruth Institute. Just go to issuesztc.org, click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, Dr. Andrew Steinman will be our guest. We're going to talk a little bit about Joshua. Remember that Old Testament figure, probably second only to Moses in his day. He is second to Moses. That's next on Issues Etc. I don't think we need to fear. I mean, there are always going to be those who are willing to walk away from the historic position of the church for whatever price they have set. When we come back, we'll talk about Joshua.
Doesn't even sit down and try to figure it out. They just sold me out for a few shekels more. Didn't even think twice for a few shekels more.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen on Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org and click Listen on Demand.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We're giving away two audio DVDs of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's almost 8 hours of teaching. Here's how you can win. Find the Issues Etc. podcast at the iTunes Store. Click Ratings and Reviews and write a review. Then send the text of your review to contest@issuesetc.org. The two listeners with the best reviews will receive the audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winners on Labor Day.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.